here's a story from The World.
Today, U.S. health leaders were back in the hot seat on Capitol Hill, testifying before a House panel about the pandemic. Questions focused on getting schools open again and the possibility of a vaccine on the horizon. Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci, was asked about that vaccine timeline.
We hope that as the time we get into the late fall and early winter, we will have, in fact, a vaccine that we can say would be safe and effective. One can never guarantee the safety or effectiveness unless you do the trial, but we are cautiously optimistic that this will be successful.
Dr. Fauci was also asked why Europe has been doing a better job at containing the spread of this virus.
If you look at what happened in Europe when they shut down or locked down or went to shelter in place, however you want to describe it, they really did it to the tune of about 95%+ of the country did that. When you actually look at what we did, even though we shut down, even though it created a great deal of difficulty, we really functionally shut down only about 50% in the sense of the totality of the country.
But the near total shutdown in Europe came with a heavy economic cost. The pandemic has sent the Eurozone into a historic recession. GDP across the European Union economies is down more than 12%. That's about 3% worse than the U.S. Some European countries like Spain and Portugal fared even worse than the average. The World's Orla Barry joins us from London. These figures are not good, Orla. Were they expected to be this bad?
Yes, some economists were saying today the figures are dreadful, but not unexpected. You have to remember, in a sense, Marco, while right now a lot of the focus on the rate of the virus infections is in the US and Brazil and India, there was a time, you'll remember, back in March when all we were talking about was Italy and Spain. And in effect, this is what the figures are telling us today. Spain and Italy both had really bad infection rates and really bad fatality rates, and Spain's GDP dropped by 18% in just 3 months, which was, by the way, way worse than was expected.
What is behind that figure? Is a large portion about a drop in tourism?
Actually, it's not all about tourism. What it is, in a sense, is reflective also of the severity of the lockdown. So Spain's lockdown, if you remember, was particularly harsh and particularly long. So in Spain, I mean, many of us remember those stories about the children not being allowed out of the house for months on end. If you look at France, for example, the lockdown there was also considerably strict. You had to have a note to leave the house. And in France's case, GDP has also dropped considerably. So that's kind of part of the story. Another thing to bear in mind is that some of these countries are already going through the ringer effectively economically. Spain and Italy, their economies weren't doing great. And Italy now is heading into its fourth recession since 2008. So the coronavirus pandemic was really the last thing that Italy needed.
Yeah, some real economic pain. What about the third quarter then, heading into the fall? Is that expected to look any better?
Well, the hope is that it will, or as some would say, could it get any worse? But things are pretty precarious. France yesterday, for example, recorded a 54% increase in coronavirus cases in just 1 week. And then Poland recorded its highest number of cases ever yesterday. So we're seeing the real impact of the second wave, as we've been talking about. But I did talk to Bert Corline, who's a senior Eurozone economist with the financial institution ING, about this earlier, and he was a little more optimistic.
You're going to get almost an automatic large bounce back in the third quarter because of the fact that stores have gone from being completely shut down, factories completely shut down, to starting production again. Now, if you look at that on a quarterly basis, going from zero to something is already quite a positive result. But keep in mind that in Spain, we've already seen reopenings of the economy being reversed at a local level because of new localized outbreaks of the virus, which means that, of course, you can expect that the third quarter will even be somewhat more pessimistic because of that.
Just a week ago, Orla, we heard about the huge EU recovery fund that was agreed to help EU countries deal with the economic fallout from the pandemic. A fund of 750 billion euros, that's about $885 billion. How will that help? Who's on the receiving end?
Well, here's the difficulty with the fund, Marco, because the money actually doesn't start to be distributed until early next year. So that's relatively late in terms of assisting countries that are in the doldrums right now. But there is a positive side to this, as Bert Corline explained to me earlier.
There is already some benefit that we get from the fact that the recovery fund has been announced, because it does bring a lot of confidence to financial markets. So the message that the EU sends brings trust with it that no country will be left behind. And that is definitely helpful, even though the ECB is already suppressing interest rates quite significantly at the moment.
Yeah, tough times. The world's Orla Barry in London. Thank you.
You're welcome, Marco.